Today on the show, we're going to talk some Disney news, and we're going to continue our discussion from last week. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode 443 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined today by John.
You've burned all the shade, the food, the rum. Where's the rum gone?
Why is the rum always gone? I feel like we've said that before.
Maybe. But it's been in it.
Perhaps.
That became like a recurring theme in the films, right? In the second one, he was like, why is the rum always gone? Then he stands up and is like, that's why.
We want the rum.
No, and then in the third one, what was it? It was, he was asking for water. He's like, why is all but the rum gone? He was like, rum's gone too. This is like, yeah. I guess that was their Wilhelm scream for the Pirates movies, in a way.
I suppose. Hey, there's the topic for a show, is all the Wilhelms in Disney movies.
Is there a bunch of them? There,
I don't know.
Aren't they all in Toy Story?
Yes, there's definitely that one.
Did they use it in every film? Or the first three, at least, I think. I know it was in the first one. And the second one.
This is not Disney related, but I was watching a YouTube video of someone putting together a bunch of, like, oddly placed Wilhelm screams. And then when you see them, like, back to back like that, you're like, yeah, that's
pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah. One of them was Batman Returns.
Really?
There was one in there that was like, oh, that's, yeah, it was kind of...
Oddly. Wasn't it in the first scene with the penguin? When they were on all the clown guys were in the streets, maybe? Wasn't that it?
I don't know.
Or was it not?
It was like a fight scene where he's like, and then he's like, throws a guy. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it was at the beginning. Batman Returns.
It's been a while since I've watched it, so. But yeah, there's a lot of Wilhelm screams in movies.
I always think of it, I always associate it with the Lucas films, though.
Yeah. Indiana Jones, in particular.
Sarlacc Pit.
But, yeah, right. Star Wars very heavily, too, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Whatever, how it goes. Wow.
Yeah. That's funny,
can't
too.
Do it very good.
Like, in Raiders, there's, like, a half, like, the second half of a Wilhelm scream when the guy falls out of the truck, right? It's like the... It's not the full...
Do they do that? Like, was that when he runs over him?
That's when the guy falls out and, like, hits the windshield of the car behind him. It's like a half, I think. Maybe I'm... But there's, like, a half Wilhelm.
I feel like it was used somewhere in that area, though.
It probably was, yeah.
I always thought of how fake... So when I look at it now, how fake it looks when he runs over that guy. His arms and legs are up in the air.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, enough of that. We'll talk a little news because it is spring break, and of course Genie Plus is selling out every day, and the price is $35 a day again because, you know, price gouging.
Because Disney Genie Plus, well, they're probably trying to think of ways to make it be somewhat available, so raise the prices. One of the options, I guess, but it's still not working.
Well, it's the main reason that I'm not there this week is because I'm not going to go there and pay those prices for that. It's not worth it.
Well, there's that, and I don't like having, like, the waits that I see if I can help it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like that one day when I first showed up, what was it, like midday on Monday? And then I called it the litmus test for Magic Kingdom that Mermaid actually had like an hour wait or something. It was something ridiculously long.
Right. Yeah, and then I think... I saw somebody post that the treehouse had a wait, Swiss Family Treehouse, and it's like a 20-minute wait posted at some point.
Isn't the treehouse itself a wait?
Yeah, it's the wait, it's the line to nowhere, but yeah. It's the extended queue for Skipper Canteen.
Speaking of Mermaid, this means that the crab game might have actually got a little bit of time. It like never gets any time. It's usually just sitting there looking all sad because nobody's playing the crab game.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
At the Swiss Family Treehouse?
No, in Mermaid. In the queue.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah.
I said, right. I jumped back to mermaid. Sorry.
You jumped, right.
There's no real queue for Swiss Family Treehouse. I mean,
I just thought you meant in the queue.
The queue that is the attraction. Yeah,
right. I know what you're meant, because I've been in that room before when it's been, you know, where you can wait a minute or two.
I've never had to wait that long. Yeah. Only a little. I've had maybe, when it first came out, I may have had a mild wait.
I think it was before Genie Plus came back, or before, you know.
You know, interestingly enough, my first experience with that attraction was in California.
Mm-hmm.
I actually rode the one in California before I rode the one in Florida.
Florida.
It was one of the first, one of the few I can say that.
I don't recall.
Again, there's not too many I can say that about. There's not really a difference. The queue's not as good. It's just a normal.
Yeah, that's right. The queue
back
is
and forth type queue.
Yeah. Yeah, which Disneyland's known for, especially the Fantasyland stuff. That's all it is. Cutbacks.
I really don't know what that building was when they originally opened California Adventure. So I'm sure it replaced something, probably.
Wait. Yeah, had to, probably. But
so I just don't know what it would have been. That's probably one of the reasons why it's a more boring queue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the crowds are back and the prices are back. So...
And people are paying it.
And they're paying it, yeah, because that's another story, is Genie Plus is selling out at least a couple of days this week, yeah. So it continues sellouts. Also, the multi-part Genie Plus sold out today as we're recording this, so... Yeah, fun times. The other thing I wanted to talk about, though, was... You know, while spring break is crazy, summer appears to be light because they've announced these new ticket deals for the summer time frame, April 2nd through September 24th of this year.
It's interesting. Summer starts in April now, apparently.
Right. Well, spring break ends sometime in April, although April 2nd is the spring
break. It's nearing our spring break.
Right, exactly. I guess a lot of schools and whatnot do March, which is still technically winter, by the way, but
for now. Isn't it technically winter until the spring, whatever it's called? Is it an equinox in spring?
Yeah. Well, I think it's 11 p.m. on the 20th is actual spring when it begins.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it was like 11:09 p.m. or something on the 20th. But anyway.
But we just can't wait.
No, we can't.
To change the time.
Right. Which, gosh, whatever. This week has been rough. God.
I am totally against, I don't even know why our state voted for DST. That's probably never going to happen because it's never going to really come up in Congress. But
yeah.
Wish we would have voted for standard. That way we could have stayed on standard.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with staying on standard.
I'm every year. I mean, I don't mind the other one, but when you fall back and you get the extra hour, it's fine. But
you're talking about, I like all this daylight in the evening. This daylight in the evening was continuing to get longer and longer ever since December the 21st until it gets to its peak.
Right. It's natural.
This is a natural occurrence. People make it sound like setting the time back or forward or whatever, like it jumped at 3 hours instead of one.
Right. But... The problem with the fall back one is it goes from being dark at like 6 p.m. to like it's 5 and it's dark almost like.
Oh, come on. That's a slight exaggeration.
Okay, but
5.
5:30, it's dark in December.
Well, if we ever get to stay on daylight savings time, do you know when daylight will break on December the 20th or 21st, whichever it falls on that particular year?
What time?
About 8 a.m.
Nice.
And I'm not talking about sunrise. I'm talking about daybreak.
Yeah. Well, still. Anywho.
Oh.
All right. Ticket, though. 3-day, 3-park, discounted ticket. No Magic Kingdom. So for Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, you can buy this package, I guess it is, for $89 a day. Starting at.
I can say, is it really a package? It's more like it's just tickets.
Right.
It's just like last year, you have to spend one day at each park. You can't just like spend 4 days at Magic Kingdom or anything like that.
Well, this one is no Magic Kingdom at all. So if you want Magic Kingdom, you have to buy.
Oh yeah, that was early. A 3 day one. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right, and pay right, but there is a there's a 4 day, which is starting at $99 a day, which to me, why wouldn't you pick that one? Because you get Magic Kingdom included, and it's only $10 more than the other one. So. It's a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you don't have 3 days, but if you only have 3 days, don't you want to go to Magic Kingdom? I mean,
right. So maybe that's, the point is like trying to get you to go that extra day because it's only $10 more.
Well, maybe it's something to give you like a low hanging fruit to go for.
Perhaps. But $89, we haven't seen that price for a day ticket in, I don't like, 10 years maybe, I don't know.
The special last year was $99, but it only had the one ticket, so they only just took $10 off for a 3 day one. It doesn't include Magic Kingdom.
Right, which isn't a great deal.
Yeah, the $99 with the four parks, one park per day, that was a pretty good deal, and you can make it work. I know that when we did it last year, the only thing that I walked away feeling with is I kind of wished I could have gone back to, I think, Magic Kingdom once when it was all said and done, but if you can manage to convince people in your party, that being the kids more or less, to manage their time better, it would probably work out better.
Right. I mean, the one park per day thing isn't a big deal to me. Park hopping is not...
It's kind of overrated, really.
It's not worth the extra they're throwing it for that. Because...
But they'll.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't been in a while, it's like, you probably should spend the whole day at each park, really. Mm-hmm.
Or plan it out and not necessarily go. I mean, we had that one day where all I did was stack for the morning, pretty much.
Yeah. Which is a good idea, too, if you're going to do the Genie Plus and you stay out late, say Magic Kingdom's open late, don't force yourself to get up early the next day. Just do the stacking, go to the pool or something in the morning and hit the park in the afternoon and then just ride everything without waiting.
I think our most enjoyable day was probably Animal Kingdom, believe it or not. Because I don't know, just the way it went, it flowed and everything. And people kind of follow the pattern of what we used to do. They'll do Animal Kingdom in the morning if they're going to do it, and then they go to another one if they hop. So Animal Kingdom has a tendency to be easier to manage people-wise after lunch. I mean, it really is. I can't explain it. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
Plus, I had the Lightning Lane stacked up pretty good.
Right. Yeah, that always helps, too.
You know, when you have, Navi and Flight of Passage in a time frame where when you're done with one, you can go right to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, that's always good.
Yeah. You don't have to, like, stop and repull something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Florida residents have an even better deal, which is the Discover Disney package, or ticket. Sorry, I shouldn't say package. But a four-day ticket is $59 a day for Florida residents. And three-day is $73 a day. I'm not sure why that one's more expensive, but I guess, I'm not sure why that was more expensive.
I guess maybe the thinking there is when they look at how summer has gone anyway. Maybe if they get more locals to, entice more locals to go during the summer, maybe that'll help boost attendance.
Yeah. That's their goal, is to get people to show up in the summer, because it's just been light the last few years. So they're...
And the thing about it is, what we're calling light now is in comparison to...
Oh, yeah.
Super busy that it always is. So it's not like super light, trust me. I mean, they're not hurting or anything during the summer. They just... Yeah. Their bookings.
Especially hotel bookings are lower.
Yeah.
But you'll see, I mean, the parks will still be busy, but it's because of these ticket deals too, you're going to have a lot of Florida residents showing up for day ticket, showing up. But
some of them might even do the $99 if they want to do like a staycation.
Right, yeah. So the parks won't be like empty by any means, but the hotels might not be as busy.
Right. Might be a good time to do the hotels.
Yeah. So yeah, these are good.
One of the things they'll do. One of the things I do like about the summer months is that they all are open later, like every day, not just certain days.
Yeah, and the lighter, longer helps Animal Kingdom stay open later.
Mm-hmm.
Usually past seven, sometimes.
Yeah, I've actually had some pretty good. It's been pretty fun to, you know, stack and go later.
Yeah,
a little easier to manage in some cases.
Yeah, and you know, the inevitable rainstorm, depending on the timing that day,
you're gonna end up
with some kind of weather at some point. Yeah. All right, but it'll be, as I've mentioned all year up to this point, next summer is going to be interesting to see how heavily they discount when Epic Universe opens.
Be interesting to see how the attendance is, period. I mean, I'm sure they're still going to be busy to some, I mean, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, this year started off with, like, there's been very few slow days. Very few.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I wonder, too, will they have more people next year doing Universal and then adding on a couple of days at Disney versus the other way around? Most people do 3 or 4 days at Disney and add on a day or two at Universal. But I now think that they have three gates.
I still think it's more likely, unless they entice people to stay with them, I still think it's more likely to be people staying at Disney. And yeah,
perhaps.
Because let's just take yourself, for example. The main reason you would go would be the Super Nintendo World, right?
Mostly, yeah.
So that would probably, you'd probably work it into with Disney, or no?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm not. For me, yes.
Okay. See? There you go.
I would probably only go to Epic Universe as well. I probably wouldn't go, unless my kids get into Harry Potter, and then I would be stuck with it. But
stuck.
But I just forbid them to ever read Harry Potter. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. They're not allowed.
I'm gonna send your boys a Christmas gift,
and I will promptly chuck it in the garbage.
It's gonna be a box that includes all the movies, the book series. What else?
No, I'm not doing that. No, no, it's fine. If they get into it, then we'll go. But they haven't yet, so. But speaking of all these prices, have you seen that story that came out? Disney World prices have increased 91% over the last 10 years.
I believe it.
See that story?
That was because they can.
Right. So in 2014, $90 was the base ticket for base price for an adult in 2014. $90.
Hmm. It was still pretty high.
So the highest price on peak season was $99. 2025 prices, the lowest you can possibly get is $119, and the highest is $189.
Hmm.
So 32% on the base price of the non-peak season, which is probably like one day a year that this... You can get it for $119. And 90% increase on the peak season price.
Did someone do the math on the Halloween party back then versus now? Or Christmas party?
Right.
Because that's probably pretty significant.
Also, parking at the theme parks in 2014, it was $15 for standard parking. I don't even think they had preferred back in 2014. It is now $30.
For preferred? Or wait, for regular?
Yeah, I think they bumped it up this year. It was $25 recently, but I think this year it's gone to $30.
It's insane.
Yeah. And of course, they also looked at like quick service. So Cosmic Rays, you used to could get an entree, like a burger, like just a cheeseburger,
mm-hmm.
in 2014, $9.99. That same cheeseburger today is $13.29.
Yeah, see, the food actually hasn't gone up as much as everything else.
That's 30%. Yeah.
Yeah, but you could get that same thing almost locally in some cases.
Right, I mean, Cosmic Rays is not like a Five Guys level burger or or even like Shake Shack or something like that. But
I'll give you an example. I got like a, I happened to drop by Freddy's tonight, if you're familiar with Freddy's.
Yeah, I know Freddy's.
And got one of their double steak burgers or whatever, meat combos that had the shoestring fries and a drink with it. It was like $15 almost.
Yeah.
For that meal.
Right. So, actually, there's a lot of these, the fast casual type fast food restaurants are pretty kind of on par with Disney's quick service.
Right.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
I'll tell you like a place I've been recently that's awesome for their price is Cookout.
Well, yeah, Cookout, yeah, it's very cheap. I know that one.
But you get to do things like one of your sides gets to be like nuggets or a quesadilla or a wrap. I'm like, and it's still only like $8 when it's all said and done. I'm like, hey,
well,
go ahead.
Who knows what you're eating, but.
And it tastes good.
As long as it tastes good. So a side of French fries in 2013 was $2.79. Today, that same side of fries is $5.
So, that's just amazing to me. A side of fries is $5.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about it, though, the price of drinks, period.
Yeah, right, yeah. A kid's meal, $5.99 in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a turkey sandwich kid's meal. Today, the same one is $7.79, so about a 30% jump there.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't order kids' meals. Okay.
Yeah, right.
For myself. Actually their kids' meals are actually pretty good. Some of them are.
Right. I mean, again, if you mobile order, there's no one stopping you from doing that. Yeah.
Well, there was no stopping you from doing it before there was mobile order, really.
I mean, Mom, I guess not. But
Mom used to do it all the time.
Right. Well, they could shame you into, or, but if you don't. That doesn't bother you. Okay, so table service. Cinderella's Royal Table. Do you remember what the price was in 2014 per person?
I didn't experience it in 2014. I experienced it in 2019.
Okay, well, do you remember what it was then?
Well, that was 3 adults and 2 kids, and it was over $300.
Well, back in 2014, it was $54.76 for an adult.
So it would have been slightly less. It would
only today, spend a little... $84 a person today.
$30.
For a child, back in 2014, it was $33.60, and it's $50 or $49 today.
So it didn't go up as much.
45% there, 53.4% for the adult. So
it's actually good food. It was good quality when we went there.
The refillable mugs. It was $17.99 in 2013, 2024.
The resort mugs?
$99 for the resort stay refillable mug, yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like shrinkflation has happened with those mugs over the years because they get smaller and the price goes up for the...
Then again, the ones we had at like the 25th anniversary and stuff like that, those, they kind of had that illusion that they were bigger than they were because of that. They did like that insulation or whatever it was in them almost.
Right. Right. They made it, yeah, so the they still outside looked bigger. Looked big, but the inside was like a tiny cup.
But it was still pretty good size.
Right.
I wonder what would happen if I were to go take one of those today and try to use it. It wouldn't work.
Don't they have RFID chips in them now where you can't?
Yeah, they do, but doesn't that just keep you from refilling? It does. I wonder what it does with one that doesn't have anything. I guess it wouldn't work either.
Yeah, it probably reads the chip and like, you didn't pay for this.
Yeah. It'd probably like you get arrested or something like the Disney police come out.
Even the paper cups have, if you just say, I need a cup for water, like you can't get anything but water. It won't work. That's funny.
I can use my resort mug for water.
Disney. I wonder how much money Disney spent to have RFID chips on their paper cups. Does it outweigh the number of people who are stealing soda from the fountain? Probably for Disney,
I don't know. It probably helps as their bottom line when it's all said and done. Let's say that. Are RFID chips at this point really all that expensive?
Probably not, because they have them on every paper cup that they sell. So I can't imagine.
They seem to be everywhere.
Right. All right, a couple more before we move on from this. Mickey Pretzel, was $4.29 in 2013. It is now $6.79 or $7.79 if you add the cheese. Almost $8.
That's a good sized pretzel, though.
It is, but dang, you could have gotten two of those for that price. That's almost two of those. That's 81% increase on pretzels.
And they may have shrunk that too, actually, now that I think about it.
So here's the other thing. Contemporary, they did like a deluxe modern value. So in 2014, I'm trying to see what room type this was. It didn't say. I assume this was a tower room. But it was $732 a night.
A night?
In 2014. So that must be a tower. It doesn't say, but it's got to be like tower at least. Anyway, in 2025, the same room is $960
a night. A tower room is $960?
I'm guessing this is a tower theme park view.
I don't remember paying that much for a theme park view. But I don't think anyway, I would have.
It says it was $732.
They're probably basing this on rack rate, which nobody pays because there's always
always a discount usually.
So you might as well say that that's what the price is. So,
well, yeah, I can't tell what room that is. It looks like it was a Bay Lake Tower viewer. But anyway, that's a 31% increase on that. So a moderate, they're talking French Quarter. Standard view was $274 a night. Again, rack rate, yeah.
2025. That's not too far off where you can get it now.
Yeah, you can get that price at French Quarter. Yeah,
pretty close, about $280. Yeah.
You might can get that, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Probably a little more than that, but rack rate 2025, $372 a night. That doesn't sound right either, but...
Which one?
French Quarter.
37%
increase.
The one I would like to see is Caribbean. They don't have it though, do they?
I don't see that one on here. You could probably look it up, but
I bet it increased a good bit.
All Star Movies. This was what room? I wish they would tell you what room because it says $190 a night in 2014.
You could find that sub 100 in 2014.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting that. It says the same room in 2025 is $230 a night.
I'm starting to question this data.
This is from All Ears, by the way.
I mean, that data does not sound accurate. I don't know what their ranges they're using.
Well, they're looking at New Year's Day, so that was peak pricing.
Oh, well.
It doesn't say if it's a standard room, but I mean, I guess preferred would be the only other category.
For All-Star, anyway, yes.
For All-Star, but anyway, so yeah. Oh, they do have the Halloween party. I should look at that really quick. Back in, 2014, advanced purchase
like
price
half
was
the price?
$62.
Yeah, like it's like half the price.
A child ticket was $57.
And what is it now?
Yeah, in 2023, which was the last, you know, they don't have, I guess they haven't released the 2024 prices yet. But in 2023, 109 all the way up to 199, depending on the date.
So more than double.
Yeah.
If you think for the high end.
Yeah.
So, and did the things that they gave you and what you, you know, the value,
increase,
did it double in value? Yeah.
Did you get 75% more for that ticket?
Absolutely not.
No. Because it went up almost 76% in value, in price, I mean.
But again, they didn't add more to it, but it still sells out, so.
Right. Shrinkflation, yet again. Speaking of, really quick, I did want to throw this in there. Did you see that story, this report about internally at Disney that the search for the successor to Bob Iger is amongst the division heads, which would include Josh D'Amaro, Alan Bergman, Dana Walden, and James Spataro. So he's chairman of ESPN. Dana Walden is co-chairman of Disney Entertainment with Alan Bergman. And of course, Josh Tomorrow is chairman of Disney Experiences.
So is Dana a he or a she?
She.
Okay.
There's one woman in there out of the mix. I don't know much about her or the others, to be honest. I do know Josh, obviously, Tomorrow.
I was just curious because there is a Dana that's a man. I mean, Dana White, for instance.
Right, right. No, she's a lady.
Okay.
But obviously, we know Josh Tomorrow more so because we see him on the park side.
Right. If this were a popularity contest.
Right. He would win from a man's point of view because he's at least personable and has, like, some charisma. I don't know. Some humanity.
If we were treating this like we do the president, then he would win.
Right, if we were voting as fans, because we don't know the other three, that's the thing.
Like I said, if we were treating this like we're people, I don't know, the leader of our nation.
Yeah, exactly.
We would do that.
Yeah, whoever, like, has the most charisma or says stuff in an interesting way or whatever, yeah, has a persuasive personality.
It's been that way for a long time.
It'd be funny to watch them debate, to be honest. I'd want to see these four debate.
If we're going to start having debates.
Yeah, so like Disney like town halls where we could ask tough questions about.
That's bad.
So you say you're investing $60 billion in the parks, but only 30 of that is allocated to actually Disneyland and Disney World. So what say you? Because when you spread $30 billion over 10 years, that's not more than they've really done over the last 10, you know?
Yeah, but kind of, right. You know, it's funny, that statement of those things, it almost makes it seem like Iger's getting a little bit of the Biden treatment, you know, like he comes off saying one thing, and is like, no, that's not really how it is.
Are these too old now?
Yeah, maybe he's starting to slip, I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, Iger's definitely, he looks different than, and I don't mean just appearance-wise, he does look older, but he's different in his demeanor in the public than he was previously. He does feel like he's more burdened now than he was when he was CEO previously. Is that...
Well, when he was CEO previously, he did nothing but accept praise, so...
Right. And, I mean,
Of course, this is a harder job.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but just to talk about Tomorrow again, like, yes, he would be popular. Is he good, though, at... Because it's like he's good at like the public PR type stuff, but is he really like what has really happened with him as being the chairman of this? Like he's good at talking about stuff, but other than that, we're not seeing a lot of results.
Whereas Chapek was taking the shrewdness a little overboard, I don't think Josh is shrewd enough.
Move.
You know, you look at Iger and you see him having a little bit of both of those qualities.
It's a good point.
And I don't know. I don't see it, but, well, you know, if it comes down to it, we'll see.
Yeah. He's definitely a good face for the company.
Oh, sure.
But as far as actually running it and making all the decisions, I'm not sold on that yet, but we shall see. He's definitely, you know, likable. Definitely goes a long way. But would he destroy the company because he knows nothing about running the business part of it? I don't know.
Well, the company has a lot of challenges, period.
Yeah, a lot of headwinds.
Yeah.
A lot of big companies have that right now, though.
I'm still of the opinion that they should at least look at bringing an outsider in like they did with Eisner. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, I sound like a broken record now, and I've said it in other episodes. There's a time to hire from within, and then there's a time to bring in some fresh blood from that's had experience outside of Disney. So,
to everything turn.
Right. I feel like it was a very successful move to keep the company moving forward in the early 80s and throughout the 80s. In particular.
Yeah.
And it might be approaching that point again. I'm not saying we're there, but we might be. So.
Yeah. We shall see what happens. I mean, the studio isn't exactly churning out hits right now either, so.
Right.
we'll see if that's another era, another dark era or not. I did see this, since we were talking about pricing earlier, the 1900 Park Fair is about to reopen, and the pricing for breakfast for an adult is what dinner used to cost at Cinderella's Royal Table 10 years ago.
Oh.
$54 for breakfast for an adult, $34 for kids. And it's buffet, you know, it's like $54 for a buffet.
Unless it's changed any of the food there, it's just, you know, it's pretty average for the most part.
Yeah, it wasn't,
as far as a buffet,
it wasn't
food.
Remarkable.
Gosh, was it way back in 16? I think it was 2016 was when I had it there last. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Hollywood and Vine. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood and Slime. Actually, I didn't hate Hollywood and Vine, to be honest, for breakfast. It's breakfast. Like, it's the same kind of stuff everywhere.
Most breakfast is breakfast. I mean, there's a few unique
exceptions,
choices.
Yeah, they listed the menu, but I'm not really going to go through all that because it's like, there's a few, you know, unique things on there. But overall, it's not worth it. But you're paying for the characters. That's the main thing.
I still say the best breakfast is Garden Grill.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, again, it's overpriced too, but you're paying for the characters and the theming of the restaurant is kind of cool. So I think I paid it was five people. It was like $250 for breakfast or something.
Well, last time I had it was a couple of years ago now. Ohana's breakfast is a pretty good deal as far as.
Because they haven't added characters back, have they yet? Or maybe they have, but.
No, but I mean, like, the quality of the breakfast food you got, and it's like more than half the price of the dinner.
Yeah.
So.
This is the problem, though, is I can't do these all-you-can-eats anymore. I'm too old. Like, I can't get my money's worth.
Don't want to do all that.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, eat that much food. But like for the dinner.
Just give me a piece of avocado toast and a coffee.
Right. I don't even need that. But.
Okay.
1900 Park Fair for dinner, $66, $41 for kids. So, yikes. Not worth that. But you're paying for the characters, so. But for a buffet.
What characters are you getting now that it's back?
Cinderella. Oh, Aladdin, Cinderella, Mirabelle, Tiana are the characters. Aladdin, Cinderella, Mirabelle,
Tiana. Yeah, it was
Tiana.
Aladdin, Cinderella, Mirabelle, and Tiana. That was just an odd mixture, though, don't you
right.
think? It just looked weird.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago. It was like, that is, because I was thinking, Aladdin and Jasmine or something, but because it's mostly princesses aside from Aladdin, so strange.
Right.
All right, I don't have any other news. Let's move on to a different topic.
You're the boss.
Of this episode. So, I wanted to read this one, which was somebody who hadn't been to Disney World. This kind of will tie back to what we were talking about last week. We'll kind of get, maybe polish that conversation off too. But this person had not been since they were 8 years old in 1991. They're now about 40 years old. They went on a kid-free trip, so they didn't have kids. So he just gave his honest kind of review of going back to Disney after, you know, 30 plus years. He said he's not a planner and doesn't enjoy scheduling and routine on a vacation. He would rather sit on a beach somewhere. So he said before.
I kind of understand.
Right.
Unfortunately, you don't have that luxury very much anymore.
No.
No matter where you go.
Yeah. If you haven't been ever or in a long time, I think now more than ever, you have to plan well in advance, right? So he was saying before the trip, some friends and coworkers tried to explain Lightning Lane, Genie Plus, and how they plan their days, and his eyes glazed over nearly instantly. It says, my first clue that I was in way over my head was when a coworker showed me a 12-page planning spreadsheet that they used on their last vacation.
Okay, that's a little bit obsessive. But.
Right. But I can see how you could easily get 12 pages of a spreadsheet, yeah.
I wouldn't want to look at a spreadsheet for my vacation, though. I mean.
Well, I could see how you could do that.
There's somebody who loves their work a little too much and they want to take it with them.
Yeah. Right, he said they didn't want to deal with that, so they decided they're not going to do Genie Plus or Lightning Lanes. He said, I didn't want to do anything that required my head to be buried in a phone and credit card to be run through. Going to the wrong place. No. Okay, so here's the pros. What he liked. He said it's beautiful parks, beautiful little cat. He said Star Wars Land was incredible. It was everything it was hyped up to be. He was not disappointed, as there was always something new, something cool to look at. Toy Story Land he thought was cool as well. The parks were never visually boring. Disney still has a lot of magic, he said. The parts that Walt designed are still great, which, Walt, well, okay, we'll skip over that part. I'm not going to critique. They loved, like, the old stuff, in other words, is what he's saying.
Just smile and wave.
Yeah. They like the classic stuff. People Mover, Carousel of Progress, Tiki Room, Hall and President, Small World, Haunted Mansion, all the classic Disney stuff.
All the stuff that probably had short waits that they could actually do without.
Yeah. And then you said Rise of the Resistance made him audibly gasp. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's a must-do. They were able to finally do it a few times around 7 to 8 p.m. when the park cleared out. So they did it late.
Which I have heard that. I've heard getting in line in the last hour... You're not going to wait very long.
You might can get a couple of rides on, which sounds like you did. Okay, so number one complaint. This is the cons. This is why I kind of brought this up. It was obvious from the first minute, and it only got worse from there, that there's a caste system of guests in the park. And if you're not spending an ungodly amount of money, you simply exist in the background as props. In the vacations of the ultra wealthy. The idea of concierge taking entire families to the front of the line and through back doors and clearing away people so they can get perfect photos pretty much ruined the entire thing for him.
I don't see that often, though.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't know. But you see a lot more VIP tours, but I don't see them clearing the way to make a picture.
Yeah, I very rarely caught that. I mean, I don't think I've ever caught that.
Yeah. I've never seen them clear the way for that. But anyway, it said it really soured him on the whole thing because it makes him feel like they're more important or special than people who are standing in line for hours. However, I did find it amusing that the employees either got very uncomfortable or gave a huge smirk when you jokingly ask, is this the poor people line?
I will say this, when you're talking about the pictures, there was a time when I would have called Memory Maker a good deal. I don't think that's still true.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I usually add it on to my annual pass now, but $100 extra, like, I like having it on one ticket at least, just because I'll use the pictures, but it's a huge ripoff, just like on the cruise line. If you, if you don't buy it, like one photo is like $15 or something crazy.
Right.
Like, come on. That's stupid. But anyway, the only other major complaint he had was about the people. People who are entitled and, he said, essentially of other guests.
So people.
Yeah. Basically, he said people. Some of the absolute worst antisocial and oblivious behavior I've ever seen. I was run into hit in the face with umbrellas. He said people would stand in doorways like they were being paid to stand in doorways. They stopped and stared randomly. They demanded and didn't ask. I watched a parent watching her 10-year-old daughter ram a stroller into people repeatedly and did nothing about it.
I see more of the ugly side of humanity there than I used to. But I've never quite had the descriptions that he had, especially not on one trip. I'm starting to question some of these. I think he's taken a couple of things and just kind of generalized them, and I'm not so sure that all of this actually happened to him.
Right. Yeah, he's talking about people kind of cutting in line and stuff, too.
Some of this is starting to sound like he just gathered this information together and decided to put it in his post.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm in question the integrity of a complete stranger, but, you know.
Right. But I mean, I would say this is kind of the major complaints most people have, is what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's no, that's why I said he happened to have all the people's major complaints in one trip. Seems a little fishy.
Right. Well, he also mentioned that the parks, I think he was specifically talking Hollywood Studios here, it sounds like, was not set up for rain. Said rain made it 10 times more miserable.
True.
At Hollywood Studios. There are far fewer crowd covering spots than you would expect for Central Florida. And Toy Story Land is a great example of that. It's like there's no shade from the sun or the rain.
I was going to say, if we're supposed to be toys in Andy's backyard, couldn't they have at least made something like giant blades of grass, you know, like they did in Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground? Could they have brought some of those back?
Yeah. So, just to run through these, he said his favorite rides were Rise of the Resistance, the Tiki Room, and then Runaway Railway, with a under the sea as a honorable mention, so mermaid as well.
Really?
So I kind of question his.
Well, I mean, thoughts, mermaid but, probably because he could actually get in it without a waiting very right. long.
It's probably one of the few rides he rode at Magic Kingdom. But
yeah, without since he didn't use Genie Plus.
Exactly. So he said the least favorite rides were Toy Story Mania. He said the pulling the rope made his arm tired. Smuggler's Run, cool concept, but if you get stuck with little kids as pilots, which you will as a group of two every single time, they'll jostle you around and make you sore, and the kids miss, like, the light speed thing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of the Resistance, he said, also makes the bottom list, even though it is the coolest ride, but people will be the absolute worst on the ride. So he's complaining about the guests again.
What does he mean, absolutely worst on the ride? Like their behavior while he was riding it? He wrote it twice and he had that? I mean,
he just says the people will act the absolute worst.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. But he says, can you wing it without meticulous prep, spreadsheets, and knowing 18 different websites and influencers? Yes, despite what everyone told him repeatedly, which he says presents its own stress for him. He says, we didn't pay for any extra line skipping stuff.
He also induced one of the most popular things.
Right. Like. He said they just did anything with less than a 20-minute wait.
This explains Mermaid. And
right. They didn't do a whole lot then. Don't wait in lines longer than an hour for your own sanity. Smile and be nice to employees. Be callous to morons bent on ruining everyone else's time. Well, walk through as many VIP concierge photos. Flying the bird as you can get away with? Like, come on, dude. That was.
I don't even know if this is real at this point.
You say that every time I read these Reddit posts.
Because people do that stuff. People do make up this stuff just so they can put it out there.
Yeah.
It could be real. I'm not, I mean, I'm skeptical of its
integrity.
Of it being genuine.
Well, I just think it's interesting if this is genuine to hear, like, someone who hasn't been in 40 years, what they think of it today. And that does seem to be the major thing. Like, you see more of the worst of humanity at Disney today.
Yeah.
I remember seeing. I'm sure it was happened back then, too, when we were kids, to tie it back to that. But I don't recall any crazy incidents where I've seen a few as an adult. Of course, maybe as a kid, you don't really think of it either, or you don't really pay as much attention to it.
A little bit of both.
But of course, it has gotten super expensive, and there is that issue.
Right, you're paying more to wait longer, and in some cases, you're paying more to skip those longer lines.
Right,
which the system they got in place, like we just said before, paid for FastPass. They've tweaked it, you know, a little bit. As far as the price of what you spend overall, is it less than what you get at some of the other places you would spend? Yes. But at some of the other places, when you're paying for it, you really feel like you're paying for a premium experience because you don't have to use an app to schedule things and you can just go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
And I'm comparing that with the Express Pass at Universal. Yes,
right.
The Express Pass costs more, but you don't have to schedule anything. You just walk up there and it's like, hey, I want to do this one.
Right. Well, with Disney, it's like if you if you know a lot about it, you kind of, like, for me, like, I like scheduling my own lightnings. Like, that's just me, though.
Well, that's part of the fun. I almost feel like the scheduling stuff like that has become a bit of an addiction. It's part of the addiction.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're counting on, honestly, is that they know the diehard Disney folks, like, love the, like, challenge and the adventure of it all.
It's become, like, an addiction, I think, for some.
Yeah. Maybe they designed it that way.
Maybe.
We'll take a couple of more minutes to button up what we were talking about last week and kind of tease this idea we were talking about of kind of doing an audio commentary on some of our old videos where we kind of talk through some of the things we were doing or maybe memories we have or things that we did back in the day. Or
maybe we could take a poll and see if there's interest in that too.
We could. It'd be interesting. But so as we're talking about the MGM Studios video that we just posted, so YouTube channel, traveling our TWTM podcast YouTube channel.
It's been out a little over a week now.
Yeah. So check it out. We may do an audio commentary of that one to start with because, you know, there's some behind the scenes stuff that we would probably add to it that would be interesting. Maybe as a companion to this one as well.
Perhaps.
It'd be fun to watch. But, you know, I obviously watched this again and thought about, you know, some of the things that have changed. But then there's some things, like if you're looking at Hollywood Boulevard and the Echo Lake area, it's like, looks the same today as it did back in 1989. A lot of it does.
Well,
there's a few differences. Like I was saying earlier,
they used to have vehicles actually out on the street.
The actual vehicles.
Not, they didn't move. They were there for entertainment purposes only. They were there for you to take pictures with and look in and all that good stuff.
Right. And the traffic lights are still there, but I feel like they, I don't know, I guess they still do work, but I feel like there were more sounds, right? Of like the...
Yeah, I remember them actually...
Like
I
buzzing,
haven't noticed.
Ringing and buzzing and...
Well, there was like a ding whenever the thing would move.
And now you don't really hear
I don't think
those.
I've heard that.
Background noises like you used to. Yeah.
Does it even change? I don't think it even changes.
I think I saw it moving last time we were there. Yeah, I think it still does, but it doesn't. It's not like it used to do where it would make this
more obvious.
Yeah, doesn't do that anymore. But
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the Echo Lake area probably looks basically the same.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely fairly crowded in some of these shots, but nothing like it is today. Like, it's like wall-to-wall people today at Hollywood Studios in particular, you know.
Yeah.
Almost any day of the week.
Well, it was also brand new at the time that was shot, too.
Right. But like I said, it's still more crowded today than it was then when it first opened.
Yeah.
But,
Thought Show was not there to eat people.
Right.
Not yet.
It'd be interesting, too, to know. I'm sure that Safari is still way bigger, obviously, but how big the backlot was compared to, like, the size of the park. It was probably half the park was the back lot.
Well, the total tour took like 2 hours of your day.
Yeah, right. But it's like just the size of the area was probably at least half of the park back then.
Yeah.
Maybe more, actually. But
I don't know if they called it Studio Catering Company back then, but the area where like all the Roger Rabbit effects and stuff where you could stay, that's also where the food was, is that same general area.
Yeah, you probably remember this way better than I do. The part where we were in the video, is that what you're talking about? Where we were, where the steam roller and everything? Mm-hmm. That was
in the same general area. Obviously, right. Before they had the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie set over there as well.
Right.
It was in that same general area.
That's what I was thinking. It looked like that area over there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And where they once had the, I don't know if they had it back in the opening month or not, they may have the Daryl Hannah statue of her from Mermaid.
Yeah.
They had that statue of her.
And I remember, too, like where they're flying on, like, the bee or whatever it was. Wasn't it a bee?
Yeah, that was in the walking part of the back lot tour.
I remember seeing that on the promotional videos a lot. Weren't there select guests that got to do that, too?
So, yeah, the guests were selected from the audience. I don't know how you got
to do that,
be up there. It's similar to the same as the where they did the water stunts
the boat,
or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, kids got selected for the B scene.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that went on because I'm sure it went through changes over the years. But when Honey, I Shrunk the Kids obviously was not, I mean, that time Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I think was out in studio theaters like that summer. Like it had it probably just been released, if not yet.
Yeah.
In 1989.
It was very close to Roger Rabbit, of course, the year prior, right?
The year before, right. Year that's prior. That's why the whole thing was so kind of like around those movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, Roger Rabbit was a big one that they used in the studios because they had just made it less than a year, we'll say, because it had to have come out. I don't remember what month it came out, but it had to come out at the very least that summer. So we'll say less than a year.
Yeah.
At the very earliest, it was summer. I mean, the very latest, it was summer of 88. So,
right.
Well, it was kind of fun that the Backlot Tour had all those Roger Rabbit things, like the Dipmobile was back there.
Yeah.
Herbie didn't last very long for some reason. I don't know why.
Technical difficulties again.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about the Busby Berkeley scene.
Which I could go ahead and post that too, actually. I'll probably post it at the same time this video gets posted.
Our great movie ride experience.
It's not the full great movie ride. It's like a chopped up great movie ride.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, it's literally only like 6 minutes worth of footage.
My dad was a...
It gets you an idea of what it looks like.
Right, he gave you the Cliff Notes version of every vacation, but...
Right, right.
At least there's some cool things to pick out. Maybe we should make a video that includes both of those to do the audio commentary with, so...
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to do. It'll be fun.
I did do a full, if I'm not mistaken, recording of Great Movie Ride in 94, and it was the Western scene still.
Yeah.
That time.
Which, that's all we got for the long, until 97, and it was like, oh...
This we like, never got anything after that.
Right, it was always gangster after that, you know.
Mm-hmm. We just went gangsta.
A bunch of rubber-naked tourists.
Yep. We didn't even know the gangster scene existed until 97.
Yeah. Right. All right, well, we'll wrap that up and look forward to those coming soon, I think. Yes. Along with some other YouTube content about Lorcana, but I don't want to, I'm not going to say too much.
It's like, if you know what Lorcana is.
Yeah. Which we talked about last couple weeks ago when Jason was on.
I think Jason mentioned it, maybe it's two or three weeks.
So we'd made some content about that I will be teasing next week, I think. So we'll see.
I think.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
You say.
But where else can we be found and all these things coming up?
Well, there's always Facebook, Twitter, X. I always keep one the same. X and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store where you can find your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have the YouTube channel that Adam mentioned. It can be found where?
Our website. Links to all that and more are there. TravelingWithTheMouse.com. You can email us podcast@TravelingWithTheMouse.com. We also have a travel agent friend on there. The links to all that are on our website. So, for John, this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. So I'll tease this at the very end if people want listen after the credits to say...
Is this like an Easter egg?
Yeah. We opened an entire box of Lorcana cards, and we may or may not have found some interesting things. That's all I'll say. Stay tuned.